Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5. It's good to have each of you with us this morning. Brother Mike's course on vacation got away for the weekend, and what I'm going to do is try to cover for him this morning. I tell you, appreciate you coming to Sunday school. Also appreciate our Bible class teacher. Brother Mike, he labors hard in study, and I tell you, if you come to the Bible class, you'll learn a lot of things. And so we certainly do appreciate him. In the book of Romans chapter 5, we're going to focus on verses 1 and on verse 2. Verses 1 and verse 2. Just a tremendous text. The book of Romans is probably my favorite book. I like all the books of the Bible, of course, but the book of Romans is so doctrinally rich. And it's just all the things that we believe, and many of the things we believe is in the book of Romans. And it stresses the fact that we're saved by grace, and grace is really stressed in the book of Romans. So in Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 this morning. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 2 says, "By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So there's two "we have" statements that I want to focus on this morning, and see if you can notice them there in verses 1 and in verses 2. Two "we have" statements. The first one's in verse 1. You see, it says, "We have peace." See where it says that? We have peace right there in verse 1. And then when you look in verse 2, it's the second "we have" statement, and it says that we have access. So that's the two points we're going to look at, and that's going to be our title, CD Man. We have peace and access. We have peace and access. So that's going to be what we're going to focus on this morning in our Bible class, okay? Now it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." And of course, justification is something that we preach on constantly. It's one of the most important doctrines that there is. I guess if you take all Christendom, so to speak, and put it together, a lot of folks don't understand what justification is. Justification is by faith. The word justified means to be declared righteous. That's the meaning of the word. And whenever you're saved and whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He declares you righteous. Isn't that a glorious thing? And it's justification is by what? What's it say in verse 1? It's through the means of faith, which means it's through the means of believing. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the result of that is that God makes a declaration. He declares you what? He declares you righteous. And like we say so much, that justification means that your sin is charged to Jesus and His righteousness, of course, is charged to you. So you have a perfect standing before God in justification. People need to know what justification is. Because if people don't understand justification, then they seek to justify themselves by their deeds or by some work. We're justified by faith, and the object of that faith is who? Who's the object of our faith in justification? Jesus. He's the object of our faith. We're justified by faith, and the object of that faith is Jesus. Now, the reason why we need to have peace with God is, if you'll look over at verse 10. Romans 5 and verse 10 shows us why we need to have peace with God. And this is an alarming text when you really look at it. We need to be brought into a position of peace with God. Does everybody in the house agree with that? We need to be brought into having peace with Him. But notice in verse 10 what it says. "If when we were enemies..." Now, I want you to look what that says. We were what? We were enemies. If you've not been justified, if you don't have peace with God, then what does that mean in verse 10? It's bad news, isn't it? We were enemies. So before we were born again, we were enemies. People need to realize where they stand at. And so it says, when we were enemies, we were transgressors of God's law, we were under a sin curse, we all sinned, all of these things. So we were enemies. Now it says in verse 10, when we were enemies, it says we were reconciled to God. Now the word reconciled means to be brought into a position of peace with God. We were enemies, but then we were reconciled. And to be reconciled means to be brought into a position of peace with God. That's why we need it. People need to realize the condition they're in. And that's one of the reasons why you read texts like this. If you've not been reconciled, if you don't have peace with God, then what's it say again in verse 10? What are you? You're an enemy. You're an enemy. That's why you don't want to die God's enemy. You want to die being justified. So that's the reason why we need reconciliation. Let's go ahead and keep looking at verse 10 a little bit. We were enemies. That's what we used to be. Now, when Paul wrote the book of Romans, and he said, when we were enemies. So he recognized the fact that before the road to Damascus, when the Lord saved him, before that, he was a religious sinner, and he was a religious enemy. He was God's enemy. And that's a frightening thing. If you think about it just a little bit, it's a frightening thing for someone to be God's enemy. But if you've not been reconciled, that's exactly where you stand. People need to know where they stand. You tell people they need to be saved, but really you need to do more than that. You need to tell them why they need to be saved. You need to be saved because you are God's enemy. You're a transgressor of God's law. You stand under a sin curse. You're one breath away from condemnation. So it's an important thing to be reconciled. That's one of the reasons why we have church to worship. But another thing the church does is spreads the gospel. And the gospel message is called the message of reconciliation. That's how you can be brought into a position of peace with God. So we were enemies. That's why we need to be reconciled, brought into a position of peace with Him. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So we're looking at we have peace and we have access. Two great blessings we have in Christ, but we're just looking at the text around it so that we can bring out the truths that are in it. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, what do they have? Everlasting life. Isn't that great? A lot of times when you think about everlasting life, people put that after you get to heaven. But everlasting life is what you got the day that you were saved. The gift of God is eternal life. So when you trusted Jesus, that's what He gave you. He that believes on the Son. And believe on the Son means to trust in Him, trust that He died for you and rose again. And when you do that, what do you have according to verse 36? Everlasting life. You got that now. I have that right now. A lot of times when we think about everlasting life, some think you get it when you get there. You got it when you got saved. That's what salvation is everlasting life. What's the greatest possession you have? Everlasting life. There's nothing any more of value. There's nothing any greater. It'd be hard to live. Can you imagine living a life without everlasting life? Wouldn't it be a vain? Think how vain of a deal that it would be not to have everlasting life. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. What else does it say in verse 36? The wrath of God abides on him. So, if someone hasn't believed, if someone hasn't been reconciled, then not only are they an enemy, according to Romans 5, but they're also under God. It says the wrath of God abides on them. It means God's wrath is already on them. The Bible even says that they are condemned already. So that's a frightening situation to be in. The reason why we preach on these things is so people would have a sense of urgency and realize how, you know, what kind of shape that they're in. So let's go back to our text, back to the book of Romans chapter 5. Back to Romans chapter 5. We have peace and we have access. So what we've been looking at thus far is we were enemies. That's why we need, since we were enemies, according to verse 10, we need to be reconciled, brought over into a position of peace with God, brought into a position of peace with Him. Okay? Let's read the rest of verse 10. We were enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled. So you go from being an enemy of God to being at what with God? Peace with God. And that's what reconciliation, pictures. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. How do you get reconciled? How you get reconciled to God is through the death of His Son, which is the gospel message. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So we've been reconciled and we've been saved by His life. So Jesus not only died for us, beloved, what else did He do for us? What else did He do for us? He lived for you. So not only did Jesus pay your sin debt by dying on Calvary, but when you trust Jesus as your Savior, He gives you His life, He gives you His righteousness. So you are saved by His death, and you're also saved by His righteousness. He charges His righteousness to you. So let's go back to our text in Romans 5 and verse 1. Our first statement is we have peace with God. No longer an enemy when you're reconciled. No longer an enemy. At peace with Him. Reconciled to Him. So he goes on to say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the means of our justification. Without Jesus, you can't be justified. Without Jesus, you can't be reconciled. Without Jesus, you don't have peace with Him. I remember over in Amish country, they used to have a big billboard up there. And here's what they had on it. It had no God, N-O God, no peace, N-O peace. And then right under it said K-N-O-W, no God, then K-N-O-W, no peace. I thought that was an excellent thing. So the most important thing is to have peace with God. And that's He is our peace. Verse 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that peace comes through who again? Jesus Christ. We have peace with Him. He gives you peace in the sense of you're no longer under His wrath. You're no longer condemned. But does He not also give you peace of mind? I mean, we can have, and we should have peace of mind in the sense that we know things are well with our soul. Since we've been reconciled, since we're no longer an enemy, while we're ready to go up. At any time, we're ready to go up. Jesus will come, we're ready to go up. If we would die, we're ready to go up. It's not a very peaceful life you can live if you don't know where you're going if you die or Jesus comes. You got to know it's well with your soul. You got to know that you have peace with God. So you have not only peace with God through justification, but you also have peace of mind. By knowing that things are well with your soul. It's a great thing knowing you're saved. It's a great thing knowing where you're going. It's a great thing to know that if Jesus comes, you're going up. It's a great thing to know that if you die, you're going to go off to be with Him. Vain life without that great hope we have in Christ, isn't it? But that's what we have. It's a glorious thing to have. Okay? So we have our first a statement is we have peace. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know you have it? Or do you think you have it? There's a difference between those two things. Do you know you have peace with God, or do you think you have peace with God? Well, you need to know you have. You need to know that you've done it. You need to know that you've trusted Him. Sometimes I think, well, the Bible says that we need to make our election and our calling sure. We need to make sure at times that we're saved. And I want to tell you a little something about that. There's people that's made professions when they were 7 or 10, and the Lord can save people when they're 7 or 10 or 14 or 15. Now, I'm not saying He can. He does. He does all the time. But if a person makes a profession of faith in Jesus, and you go back and look at that profession, and it didn't change you, hear me. You best make a new one, because there's something wrong with that one. A true living faith in Jesus Christ will change you. Does everybody in the house agree? It not only will change you that day, it'll change you forever. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm just saying you're going to be changed. The Holy Spirit indwelling you, having a new nature, it's going to produce a change in a person's life. So when I say you need to make your election and calling sure, you need to make sure you're saved. If there's any doubt about whether you're saved or not, you need to make that sure. You say, well, I need to come and tell you. No. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, if I never knowed what I was doing, if I never understood when I was 7, if it wasn't real when I was 7, then I want to trust you right now, and you go from this point forward. You see what I'm saying? That's making it sure. Because you really can't trust, my Aunt Linda used to say this, you can't trust in a dead profession. You can't do it. So you need to make it what? Sure. You say, well, what if it was real? Well, if it's real, it's great. It's good either way. But if you're not sure, you're not going to have confidence. And you need to have confidence that you're born again. You need to know. You need to know you've been reconciled, and you need to know that you got peace with God. All right, now we'll go ahead and let's look at verse 2. All right, we looked at we have peace. That was our first statement. We have peace. What's the next statement in our text, verse 2? We in whom we have access. We not only have faith, but we also have access. What's an access? How you get in. I say it all the time. Sometimes Rob or somebody will come down and work on our or an air conditioning man will come down to work on your building or work on your air conditioner, and first thing they ask you is, where's your access? And your access is how you do what? How you get in. Access is how you get in. So by Jesus, we have access. Now, what's the access in? What's the next word there? Look at it in verse 2. By whom we have access, by what? Faith. How you get in salvation is through the means of, it's a faith access. It comes by believing. That's how you get in. So look at it again in verse 2. By whom we have access by faith. Who's the object of your faith whenever you're saved? Well, Jesus is. The gospel is that He died for you and rose again. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Our standing in grace is we have a perfect standing before the Lord. All right, so we have peace. But what else do we have in verse 2? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's how you get in. It's a faith access. Y'all remember why salvation is by faith? It's not a work. It's not a work. Faith is always in an object that did the work. Okay? You might went to a ball game and maybe somebody, one of the kids playing was related to you, and you say, I have faith that they're going to score a touchdown here. Well, the objects of your faith was who was playing. But you didn't do anything but sit there and watch it. Salvation's that way. When we say we have faith in Jesus, the object of our faith is Jesus. Who did the work? Jesus. So that's why salvation is by faith, so that it might be by grace. You got to have the combination of both of them. So we have faith. I'm sorry. It says we have peace in verse 1. The way of peace is through Jesus. By Jesus, by whom refers back to the Lord Jesus, we also have access into grace. That's a great access, isn't it? Have you accessed it? Have you accessed it? Now notice what else it says. The third part of this, and this is my third point, it says we rejoice. Now that we have peace with God, now that we've been reconciled, now that we have access by faith into this grace, what does it say we do in verse 2? What's it say we do in verse 2? Well, it says that we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in our hope. We got good hope. This radio broadcast we have is 2 Thessalonians 2:16. We have good hope through grace. So we rejoice in our hope. It's a horrible thing not to have hope. Remember, sometimes the way we use the word hope, we say we hope it don't rain. We hope we have a good crowd. We hope Poca-Poca wins the ball game. We say hope. The way we say it is a lot different than the Bible word hope. When the Bible says we have good hope, like 2 Thessalonians 2:16, like we're saying we have good hope through grace, it means to confidently expect. Here's the good hopes that we have. We rejoice in our hope, it says in our text. You see in verse 2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What's our hope? We got the good hope of heaven, don't we? Isn't that a good hope to have? Oh, my. I couldn't imagine living this world without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of my days. How about you? That's a good hope. If a person, there's text in the scripture that says, having no hope and without God in the world. You either have good hope or you have no hope. And the most important thing is have the good hope of heaven. You trust Jesus, you have a home in heaven. It's a glorious thing. Number two, you have the good hope of a gathering. In the book of Genesis chapter 49, and the verse 33, whenever Jacob died, it said he pulled his feet up into the bed, and he was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people. I love that text. And Brother Overby was here, and he was doing a seminar. I can't remember which one. He said in Genesis 49:33, where it says you was gathered to your people, he said the meaning of the Hebrew was gathered up to your people, signifying that they went up whenever they died. We like to keep our loved ones with us forever, don't we? I mean, death is a separating thing. Our life here is relatively short when you compare that to eternity. But when people are saved, when people are born again and people have everlasting life, you're going to spend forever together. And the separation that we have and that separation we have now seems like forever. But it's not. We are literally, when someone's born again, we have the good hope of one day being gathered to our people. That's what it says in Genesis 49:33. It means you're going to see them again. That means a lot. That means a lot at the end of your days when someone you love passes that you know they're with the Lord now, and then you know you're going to see them again. Can you imagine life without that hope and without expectation? If you're here today and unsaved, what comforts your family when you're gone is not what so much you leave them as far as material things. That's a slight comfort. But what comforts you is you know you're going to see them again. You're going to be together again. That means a lot, doesn't it? So because of God's grace, we rejoice in our hope. We rejoice in the hope of heaven. Rejoice in the gathering that one day we're going to have together. What's another good hope we have? What's another hope we glory in? It says we hope in the glory of God. One day we're going to see His glory, but one of these days we're going to be in glory. And we're going to get a new body. I'm 57 today. That used to seem like 6,000 years old one time. But think about it. I'm going to get a new body one of these days. My body can't do what it once did. Almost can. But it can't do what it once did. Why is that? It's winding down. It's winding down. But one of these days, I'm going to get a new one. It means a lot to you. The older you get, you're going to get a new one. And that new one's not going to have no sin in it. It's not going to age. It's not going to get sick. It's not going to die. And it's not going to sin. Y'all believe it? That's a reason to rejoice, isn't it? So we have the good hope of a new body. And then last of all, we have the good hope of seeing Jesus. I mentioned this fella here not long ago, talked a little bit about Job. And one of the great statements Job made in Job 19, though he had lost his health and 7 sons, 3 daughters, all of his finances, he said in Job 19, I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And he said, though the skin worms destroys this body, yet in the flesh, he said, I shall see God. Job didn't lose everything. He still had salvation. He still had heaven. And he still had the good hope that come with it. Well, that's our message for today. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we have access into the grace that saved us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.